I mentioned to you that I was going to be talking to Nuala Kelly from the Ardfert Historical Society. Nuala, you're very welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us this evening. How are you?
Good, Jorin. Thank you for having me.
Not at all. Ardfert is a beautiful part of County Kerry. Tell us about it.
Ardfert is actually, you may not know, but it's the medieval capital of Kerry, the former ecclesiastical capital of Kerry, 5 miles north of Tralee, close to the beautiful Bannistrand, which became famous in 1916 when Roger Casement landed there. Mm-hmm. And he was subsequently captured in Casement's fort just outside Ardfert. So Ardfert itself is a very historical area. St. Brendan, the navigator, founded a monastery here, a cathedral, in the 6th century. And that's still standing in the village today. It's actually where the exhibition of Michael Cavan, which we'll talk about later, that mm-hmm. exhibition was held. We have a Franciscan friary. It's a very historical, probably one of the most historical villages in the county, I would say.
So plenty of reason to have a historical society. And how long is it up and running, tell me?
Well, the Historical Society itself, we got together in 2018, but prior to that, a few local people had been coming together for a number of years and holding historical lectures, winter series for a number of years. So on foot of those gatherings, we put together the Society in 2018. Mm. Now, obviously, when COVID hit, you know, nothing happened for the last couple of years, but we got back together in April of this year and started out again. Organising events and local historical walks and a few projects on the go now.
Very good. How many of you are involved in it? I'm going to say how many of you are stuck into it because I'm sure there's a plenty.
Stuck into it. Well, Ger, would you believe it? For a society in a small village like Ardfert, we have 130 members.
Wow.
So, yeah, 130 members. So we have a working committee of about 12 and we would have an attendance of 12 at most meetings.
Lovely.
So great team now together, I have to say.
And just to give us a mental idea, mental picture, the size of Ardfert, how many people are living there and what kind of work is done there? Is it mainly agricultural or what is it?
Mostly agriculture, yeah, in this part of Kerry. Mm. Village, population of about 3,000. I'll stand corrected on that now. Mm. Small village, supermarket, couple of pubs, couple of restaurants. Tralee being the nearest big town, so... You know, employment-wise, yeah. Tralee would be the town, yeah.
All right, okay. You mentioned Michael Cavan, or Mikey Cavan, I think is how you describe him locally. And it was the story about Michael Cavan and his, I suppose, the art that he has left behind that captured my eye a couple of weeks ago and decided I'd like to talk to you about it because he was a farm labourer, born in 1916, if I'm not mistaken, around that time anyway. And
you're correct. Yep.
He was a farm labourer, so he worked for the various farmers throughout his life, a quiet, unassuming man, but a very talented man. And it was at one of your meetings a couple of years ago that one of your colleagues from the Historical Society brought with her a painting, I think it was, or a piece of art that had been given to her. And she just wondered aloud, had anybody else received one? So that's the story. Tell us more about it.
That's exactly what happened, actually. It was at one of our winter lecture series, and it was a lecture on, or a talk on, the stories and songs of Ardfert. And that was delivered by Anne Carney, who's involved in our society, and Lily O'Sullivan, a local lady who happens to be an art teacher in the Presentation Secondary School in Tralee. Lily brought with her a couple of pieces of Mickey's work that evening and asked if anybody had, if there was some work around the parish, you know, and it started from there. So when we got back together then in April of this year, as I said, Lily came to one of our meetings and brought what she had gathered in the last few years of Mickey's work. And we were, you know, we were a bit taken aback as to what she had collected. Hmm. And it was decided we'd put this exhibition together. And, you know, it just grew into something absolutely fantastic. We're overwhelmed at the local interest in it. And I suppose from a community point of view, where nothing had happened for a few years and people were locked at home because of COVID and what have you. It was a real coming together of the community on the day.
Right.
And absolutely overwhelming, the legacy that he has left behind in terms of his paintings and his sketches and his manuscripts, and the fact that they were minded and protected by his neighbours and the people who would have known him, you know, his neighbours and friends around the parish. So Lily put it all together very sensitively and respectfully. And as it turns out, Lily had a very beautiful friendship with Mickey in his old age, because she was in college training to be an art teacher, and she immigrated. She lived in the United States for a number of years, and they had a beautiful relationship, and they communicated through letters, and she would have been a frequent visitor, and that was very apparent in the putting together of the booklet. Mm-hmm. and the way the exhibition was dealt with. It was very, very nice.
Lovely. Tell us something about the type of art that Lily and the rest of you have collected so for the exhibition, the type of thing that Mickey was into doing.
I suppose he doesn't fit into any category, and Lily made that quite clear in her introduction to the booklet. You know, he could have been described as fitting into maybe naive art or folk art, but Lily would insist that he doesn't fit into any particular category, that okay. He worked and he had his own very individual style. So he would have, like, even leafing through the booklet, he would have painted scenes of, you know, a local farmyard, his neighbours, the Healy's and Brandon Well, and he worked on that farm indeed and right. would have known them very well. So he would have painted a farmyard scene there. He painted actually portraits of Peg Sayers, for one, James Joyce, Yeats, and local people. In actual fact, there's a portrait depicted there in the book of a local man, another artist in a way. He was a musician, Patty O'Sullivan, and Mickey painted unbelievable likeness. Any of us locally that would have known Patty Sullivan would be taken aback at the likeness in Mickey's drawing. And as well as that, then he compiled manuscripts, handwritten manuscripts, bound them all together. The materials he would have used would have been cigarette boxes, old tea boxes. In fact, his portrait of James Joyce was done on the back of an Omo box.
Go away.
You remember the old Omo washing powder, on the back of an Omo box. So, yeah, it's quite an amount. Like, so on the day of the exhibition, we had 30 pieces, framed pieces, and then we had all his manuscripts and all his other little booklets together. Now, they weren't, obviously, they could be viewed but not handled.
Yes.
And they were in a display case, all of them.
In relation to the manuscripts, what were they? Were they his own writings, or were they interpretations of other writings, or what were they?
I would say interpretations of other writings. You know, a lot of historical facts, politics. He would have compiled information on various different topics and, you know, taken cuttings from newspapers and other books. And he would have transcribed a lot of books. Yeah. Tommy Connor, who's the county librarian and who's also very involved in the Historical Society, Tommy would have, you know, back in the day, given books to Mickey on loan and brought him things that he thought he might have been interested in. And Mickey would have transcribed books, entire books.
Really?
And bound them with beautiful covers, handmade covers, and stitched them together. And absolutely amazing craft involved in it.
He was a farm labourer, so I'm sure he didn't have, like I have, very soft hands. He would have done a hard day's work every day of his life. But he was able to use them to create such beauty, wasn't he?
It's amazing, really, yeah, amazing. And he was, you know, painting and drawing and sketching from a very young age, because a story I was told the day of the exhibition was that when he was a young boy going to school in the local national school in Ardfert, the headmaster told him one day, "You'll never come to anything." Mm. And he went home that evening and he drew with ash on the gable wall of the house. He drew a depiction of the schoolhouse. And people came from all over to see this. Yeah. And he was subsequently told, I think, by his mother that he would have to wash it off because it was going to cause trouble.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. Did anybody... obviously, he was giving these pictures and pieces of art to friends and to neighbours as gifts. and never wanted money for them. But did anybody have any idea to the extent of the work that he was doing behind closed doors at nighttime and, you know, on his days off and things?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure. But like, bearing in mind, you know, as a country and as a society, art-wise, we've come a long way. Hmm. Mickey died in 1996. So definitely locally, there would have been a huge appreciation of his work and people were aware of his talent. Like, for example, Mickey was in the village, in the pub in the village one night, and two strangers came in and nobody could identify them. So Mickey sketched them on the back of a cigarette box and went to one of the neighbours, Phil Healy, the following day to see if, and showed Phil the sketch of the two men, very lifelike sketch, to see if Phil could identify them. So, yeah, there was certainly an awareness of his talent.
Right.
But only on a very local level.
Right. Okay. For a man who's dead 26 years, there's a whole new generation has just maybe become aware of him. Is there an appreciation of the, you know, the under 30s in the village, those that would be native, maybe they might have known or heard stories, but is there a new appreciation of him, you know, with a new generation?
Absolutely. And that was very evident.
Okay.
You know, during the exhibition, the launch of the exhibition, the local people that came, people who bought the catalogue, all ages, young and old, school children, teenagers, the 20s, you know, people whose parents, you know, for example, even my children, who would never have known Mickey, but would have heard about him from me and then went to see the exhibition and were overwhelmed.
Hmm. How important is he in the whole history of Artfert now at this stage? I mean, he up to this point, maybe as a character, he would have been important. But suddenly this story is out there. And look, we're talking about this on a Spanish radio station. And, you know, Artfert and the whole thing about art is being mentioned. It is important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like, we are very, very proud of the man that he was, you know, any of us who were privileged to have known him, and I knew him quite well. We're overwhelmed, actually, at the response that we've had to this exhibition. We're very proud of it. And I think the main feeling that we're getting is that people of Artfert are very pleased that we honoured somebody like Michael J. Cavan, as we like to refer to him.
Okay.
Mike, known locally as Mickey Cavan, but Michael J. Cavan, he signed his pictures Michael J. We're overwhelmed at the response, but what we're feeling is that there's somebody like Mickey Cavan in every village and parish in Ireland. But we got to do something about it in Artfert, and Lily O'Sullivan, you know, drove that on and instigated it, and we got it together and got the exhibition together, and it just says a lot about him and the esteem in which he was held.
Mm.
But at the same time, he was such a humble, unassuming man. And nothing that has happened since would ever change that impression of him. He was very humble. We've mentioned a lot, like, what would he have thought now?
Yes.
If he knew what was going on? Like, to have an exhibition opened by the Minister for Education and her speech. She delivered a very powerful speech at the launch, Norma Foley, who's a local lady from Tralee. She delivered a very powerful speech in which she mentioned, like, world-renowned artists in the same sentence, you know, and Picasso and Mickey Cavan in one paragraph.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely overwhelming, yeah.
Brilliant. What's the future then of the exhibition? Will the pieces go back to the people that own them or that have donated them? Or
All the pieces are being returned to the owners, the people that donated them to the society just for the exhibition.
Okay.
We're running the exhibition again on Culture Night, the 23rd of September. We're running it for another night in the community centre and making it, again, like a community event. And the people that would have known him and the people that have heard about him.
Okay.
So that's running on. So all the paintings and manuscripts have been returned to the owners, and the booklet has been printed, and local people, that has actually gone all over the world already. People, you know, people who would have known him growing up and have since immigrated have contacted the society, and we've been sending that everywhere. So, and that's it. He's remembered. We didn't have any huge intention. We just wanted to run this exhibition. We wanted to showcase his work, and we wanted to remember him. And as I said, Ger, we had no idea of what it would become. So we're delighted with the coverage, and to think, you know, a Spanish radio station is interested in hearing the story. It's overwhelming, really.
That is good. For anybody that would like to see some of the stuff online, what have you got online that you could share with us?
At the moment, the only way one can see it is by visiting our Facebook page.
Okay.
Now, we're actually continuing to work on it. We're hoping to get something together where you can go into our website, set up a website and go in and visit. But for the moment, the only way to actually see his work and read about his work would be in the booklet that we've published.
Okay.
And that's available via our Facebook page. If anybody was interested, just to contact the Historical Society via the Facebook page, and we could get the booklet out to them.
Okay, that's Ardfert, A-R-D-F-E-R-T, Historical Society on Facebook. It's a smashing project, and you must be chuffed. And you've said it a few times in a few different ways that you are delighted with the coverage that you've got on it. But I suppose the spotlight on Ardfert, and it will do a lot for promoting the area and promoting what's around the area as well. It's another kind of a feather in your cap, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But it's just, you know, just even the depiction of Mickey Cavan himself on the cover of the book, you know, a man with the cap, and, you know, very humble, simple, quite living man. It tells an unbelievable story.
If you met him on the street, I mean, you would have met him many times, but if you know, what would he talk about? What was he interested in?
He had a very, very broad range. Mickey could talk to anyone about anything.
Go away.
Hugely intelligent man. Hugely intelligent man. Very inquisitive mind, you know, liked to get the facts and the details. And that's very evident from his books that he's put together. And strangely enough, and not strangely enough, but he developed beautiful friendships with people, with young and old. Particularly... very good friendship with Lily O'Sullivan. I knew him very well, very fondly. Great memories of him and his brother Jack. They were two bachelors. They lived just outside of the village. I met a local man lately who, much younger than me, and I said, "Do you remember him? Can you remember him?" He said, "Was he the man that cycled the bike and wore the cap?"
Wow. Wow.
And that told a great story in itself, that he's just cycling in and out of the village and he always wore the cap.
And what about his brother then? I was going to ask you about family, and you just mentioned that his brother was a bachelor as well. So has the line finished there, or were there uncles? And
actually, we were unaware of any other family members. Like, there were two brothers, no other family living around Ardfert, but a cousin or a second cousin of theirs came to the launch of the exhibition.
Lovely.
So we were delighted with that.
Lovely.
To meet that, but the local line finished okay. with the two brothers.
All right. Well, listen, it's a fascinating story. I wish you well with the exhibition on the 23rd for Culture Night, and good luck with the booklet and the website. And will you let us know when you get the website up and running, and I will refresh memories and I'll point people in that direction. And thanks a million for talking to us from Ardfert, the Historical Society, about Michael J. Cavan. Great man.
Thank you very much, Ger. Thank you.